It's hard to see yourself represented on the silver screen in a world with less available roles to us. This industry can be so mean, so we're gonna make some changes in this town. Turn the male-driven media upside down. There's nothing that a woman can't do, so act like a girl. We're here to support you.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
We're so excited because do you guys know what's happening July 9th?
Guess.
Not gonna
guess. We have our next Act Like a Girl live show happening.
Yay! So excited. Oh my God.
We're going to be at Nerd Melt again on July 9th at 7 p.m. We have a really great lineup for you guys.
OMG, so nice. It's got a special musical guest.
Yeah. Yay. Surprise.
I love surprises.
And then Alexia Verbecki is going to, we're going to be airing a couple of her video sketches.
Chelsea Groh will be our stand-up comedian. She's so funny.
She's a dear friend of both of ours.
Yes.
So we're both equally as excited to have her on.
And I love her afro. It's getting fluffier by the moment.
Oh, my God.
She's going to fluff on in there.
She, the other night we went out and she popped it up. Oh, my God. It looks so good.
That's how I want mine to get fluffy.
Yes. We're going to be interviewing Alana Masterson. She plays Tara on Walking Dead. She's dope as fuck. She directs stuff. She's a writer. She's a mom. Check out our Instagram feed. We posted a video of her bowling with her daughter, and I won't tell you what happens. You just got to go look. It's so good. And then Tracy, who's headlining?
Oh my God, Eliza Schlesinger.
Yes. I would honestly buy tickets in advance. We will be adding the link to all of our podcast episodes, putting it all over our social media starting today.
Yes.
So buy your tickets in advance. They're $10.
Because we will sell out.
We will sell out. All right. Love you guys.
Love you guys. See
Thanks
you
for
there.
Acting like a girl. Welcome back to the Act Like a Girl podcast, everyone. You have Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we are here with
Alana Cohn.
And Megan Perry.
And they are?
We are two halves of the podcast, Your Mama.
Your Mama.
Your Mama. I like that. You're not from the South.
Yeah,
so everything is your mama.
Well, yeah, where are you from in the South?
Atlanta.
You're oh, really?
South.
Nice.
Anything you say, like your mama?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, you gotta say nothing. That's it. Your mama.
And then just a full fight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Hold my ear.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that name.
Once you evoke your mother any conversation,
shit gets serious.
Yeah, you're bound. Yeah. to just throw down.
Yeah, I think anything involving moms is like, I haven't, like, a man has not met my mother in like over a year and a half.
Smart.
It's just
because you keep her locked in the closet.
Too serious. Yeah, I keep her locked away.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, where are you both from?
I'm from Dirty Jersey.
Wow,
so,
New Jersey.
Yeah.
Did your accent kind of...
When I go home, I have to turn it on a little bit.
Oh, my God. I love that. I've never heard you
say that. Because I got to enunciate so they can understand what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Because they'd be like, what you say? I'm like, let me... Okay.
Well, I had friends get pissed at me because I was like, oh, yeah, Karen. And they're like, what? I'm like, oh, Karen.
Karen.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to mispronounce your name. What an asshole I am.
That's so good.
What is going on with Alana? All of a sudden, there's this mid-Atlantic. I don't know what she's saying.
She sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Your whole demeanor changes when you
I know. And it really is like, and I do, and I don't fully consciously like turn it on when I get home, but I realize when I come back mostly, I'm like, oh, there. Now suddenly I have a little bit more of like my Jersey accent just because I've had to slip back into it.
It's so like being bilingual.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I feel you. I'm like, black people think they're the only ones, but now I'm learning this. That's why I love doing this podcast. I learned, no, it's any kind of culture, ethnicity. Yeah.
It's true.
Because that is true. New Jersey is definitive. Y'all got your whole little, it's like, what?
I have to remember to be nicer when I go to Michigan.
Really?
Yeah. Like, especially when I was living in New York.
You're not going to take it there.
No. And I also, like, the first time, or like the second time I went back, I think there's a monorail in the Detroit airport, and I like rushed on it when doors open, and that shit was open for like a minute, a minute and a half. Like, but I was like, oh, gotta get on,
You're like greeting people.
It's like, shuffle. Oh,
go back to New York City, right? Crazy lady.
I probably looked nuts.
That's yeah. why now I have empathy for like a lot of Mexicans. I came over here before because my first came from Atlanta. So, you know, that's the South and it mm-hmm. slowed down already. I came out here and then black people get mad at the Mexicans to get on the bus. Like, you step on my feet, I'm going to slap you. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we going to get on the bus. Everybody going to get on the bus. They still had it. You know what I'm saying? That
totally.
The immigrant mentality. It's like, whoa. Everyone on my feet to get over the damn bus. We in America's chill. I was like, no.
When I was coming back from Australia, I took Philippine Airlines, so I flew through Manila, and when I was going through customs, this woman was just like on my body, like she was like right behind me, and finally I was just like, you can just go, like I need you to just go ahead, literally. Like I really just need you to go please. Ahead. I can't, like I've
she
didn't.
She just stayed hugging you. Yeah. She's like, I just need some love.
On my body.
She literally was like,
well, that's the Middle East. I lived in Israel for a year and there's no lines. Like they just, that is not something that you do in the Middle East. You do not stand in line. You just push forward. So everyone is just cramped and like, it's like whoever's loudest and elbowing hardest is the one who gets served.
Strongest survives for real.
So it is like, you know, you're like, oh God, Israelis are so fucking rude, but it's not. It's just, that's a cultural thing. Right. They just like,
it's the same thing in New York.
Like everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same thing in Manhattan. Like if you're fucking standing in front of the subway stair, like, yeah, we're going to yell at you. Cause there's like 100 people that need to come up the subway stairs right now.
Yeah.
Like just move to the side.
People.
It's cultural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Megan, where are you from?
I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia. So
nice. And no.
Yeah. I just made Tracy a look.
Megan made a face.
No, there are parts of it that are really nice. It's kind of one of those places, like, I'm kind of glad that I grew up there. You know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of space and running around and all of that stuff. And, I just wasn't a beach kid.
Yeah.
Just wasn't my story. Yeah. And there are other places in Virginia I probably... I don't know right now with the political climate if I would ever move back, but
you're getting a lot of fights if you did.
My brother lives there right now. He lives in Richmond. He just graduated from college and he just tells me horror stories. So I'm glad I grew up there. I am glad that I grew up there, and there are some very nice places and some lovely beaches.
But you were in LA pretty young.
Well, my dad's lived in LA since I was five. So my parents were divorced. So I grew up with my mom, but I would come to LA every summer.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds super glamorous.
It does.
I went back and forth. And then, honestly, in some ways, I feel like I'm still living kind of in my hometown because I was here so much when I was a kid.
Yeah. You
know? Mm-hmm. I'm kind of both.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is.
So nice to be here.
So, did you guys go to college?
Madam?
Yes, I went to Rowan University in New Jersey, mm-hmm. in South Jersey, which is so bizarre because it's a very small state.
Mm-hmm.
But South Jersey is like the South.
Right.
But it's like the South where the white supremacists live.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I
think that was so.
Yeah.
New
Jersey? South Jersey is wildly racist.
Yeah, there's a lot of and racism. Like
not, I'd be shocked by that if I went up there. I'd be like, what?
It this was is so not, confusing.
New Jersey, I thought.
This is not in the pamphlet?
In the movie? Yeah.
In the movie? Jersey.
Nobody told us.
Where's Tony Soprano? This is so confusing. Yeah, South Jersey is like
although
a different
world.
Although
I feel like Tony is pretty racist too, though.
Oh,
well, yeah, they just, I mean, I don't consider them racist. They just don't accept anyone except Italians.
Right.
So
that's not racist.
So that's the definition of
their own
racist.
Yeah. I guess that's racist.
No.
So they're not partial. Like they're not just blacks, it's everybody.
Oh, yeah. It's everybody.
Wow,
everybody.
That's kind of. I think blacks need to be like that for a minute. Just a minute till we get our shit together. You know?
Yeah.
What I'm
saying? Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I
think that's
very fair.
Yeah.
I think that's very fair.
That's like what Jill Soloway, I just read an article, Jill Soloway wrote something about like people being like, oh, women are making film now. Doesn't it feel even? And she was like, if for the next 100 years, every single piece of art and media made is all women, then we can talk about it being more fair.
Seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what, oh my God. So I went, I love that this conversation is happening because now I can tell this anecdote. So I went on this fucking date last week with this white guy. Who, and when I say date, that's like loose. Wasn't even a fucking date. Anyway, with this white guy.
Did you meet him from like Bumble or something like that?
No, we met where I meet everyone at work.
Okay. Casual dating.
It's because I don't do dating apps.
Yeah.
And I also
casual
like,
dating, yeah.
I don't try to meet people. Mm-hmm. So pretty much the only way that I go on dates, because I'm not really dating right now. Like, I am if someone asks me and I'm interested, basically. Mm. So really the only way that happens is when I'm at work, because, like...
Which is a very social place.
Which is a very social
and
place.
P.S. with that attitude, you're going to be married within a year.
Go on. Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's true.
I've heard that. Don't know. Told me that.
Totally.
Amber told me that.
Just give up and don't give a shit. And honest to God, and walk right through
the door. That's how I met my husband.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, well... Yeah, it's all, I don't know, man. We'll see. Who knows? That would be cool, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so I went on this date with this guy. White guy. He tells me, he's Italian. He tells me that he's third generation, and he tells me that his people don't have privilege. They don't have white privilege. And I was like, excuse me, I'm sorry. Did your entire culture get dragged out of their home country and brought to this country in enslavement? No, like that's but he was like, yeah, but like my grandfather was an Italian man who moved here with nothing and had to start from the bottom up. And I'm like,
free.
Yeah, but
he's free.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And like, do you know how many brown and black men moved here within the same situation and they're still in living in squalor? Like,
listen, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. There's obviously problems.
Yeah.
There's no problem in this country bigger than slavery.
Yeah.
So just put a cork in that.
And let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's have some sound mind on one accord and move on from that. That's how we're going to heal America.
Well, but he ruined it. I mean, I've never,
ruined that date.
Yeah. What's the guy, Daly?
John Daly?
Trevor Noah?
He said the difference between South Africa, because, you know, apartheid and America is that America's never acknowledged slavery.
That's exactly it.
That's what hurts. They say, stop being a victim. Don't do this. And it's like, so why I can't even have my thoughts? Why can't this happen? And y'all don't teach it in the books, and I have to learn about it, and I list movies, and it's like,
what's crazy?
And it's still happening. So I say, oh, this shit still happening. It's like, what are you talking about? It's a movie, you know? It's like a horror flick.
It's a horror movie. It's like, what the heck? I produced a podcast called The Humankind last summer with a friend of mine. Milana was one of the guests, and basically two strangers sitting down of varying races having a conversation about race. Right?
Oh, that's so cool. I want to listen.
It's great.
To
that. I like
it's
so that. Fun.
Ooh, I would love that. You know, that would be my like cocktail.
Yeah. So it's on iTunes right now. You can download it. It's one season, 12 episodes, and and it was great. But what was really interesting about it was, in every culture that was represented, the one thing that the ongoing through line was, just acknowledge, just listen and acknowledge, and literally, that is all anyone's asking is just like, this
you
sucks.
Don't have that validation. You're just like,
am I crazy?
Yeah, you feel like a crazy person.
You feel like a nuts. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and then
so
he
you
also
don't talk about it, but it's like, I gotta teach my kids, you know, still getting brutalized, so I gotta teach my young son
how to act.
It's like, exactly.
And I think that's something that's interesting too, is that if you don't acknowledge that, and if you don't acknowledge that you're, you know, in any cause for activism in this country, if you don't acknowledge what the actual problem is,
right,
you're not going to get anywhere. A, but B, you're also just not, you're just gaslighting people. You don't know your own history.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't know the history of the other people in this country, and these are your fellow countrymen, man.
Right.
This is your history.
Yeah, this is our country. We're here to stay, everybody.
Family own slaves.
Yeah, like you have a responsibility.
You do.
Yeah, there's a responsibility. It's like, that's one of my least favorite things that's happening right now with white people, is they're like trying to almost pretend like their ancestors didn't own slaves. And it's just like,
and that's very
some of the
strange.
Celebrities are going through that thing and trying to erase that part. Show them that my people own slaves.
Ben
Affleck. Ben
Affleck.
Yeah. They go to ancestry.com. They find that shit out. And they be like, oh, erase that. That's the way it was. Ain't nobody going to sit there.
Yeah. What's so frustrating is like, that's an opportunity for him to be like, holy shit, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Right. I can't believe this is in my family. I can't. And like, actually take a stand instead of erase. That makes me so angry. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm like, what kind of mind you want to erase it? But you know it. You know it.
Yeah, you know it.
And you live in a country that does it and is still doing it, and you want to just erase it from your resume.
It's weird.
How did you guys find out? Did they show it on the show?
There's an article.
There's an article too.
Afterwards, and I don't know who released that information. Like, I don't know if somebody leaked it from the show or whatever that he wanted it
Covered
up. But it's I don't know. I am huge on the genealogy. I am always on Ancestry.com. I am constantly going through, and I am from, the majority of my family on my mother's side is from Virginia.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So
of course they own slaves.
Yeah,
I also am descended of slaves. There is no
really.
Yeah.
Because you look like Italian. It's just ethnic, but you could be Italian. You can be Indian. You know, you heard it before.
Yes.
You can
be, Yes. And when I say that, I'm saying, I'm actually assuming that that is the case. I don't know if the black ancestors that I have, I'm assuming they were slaves because of the time and the place and the whole thing.
Right. In America.
So I'm assuming that that's the case. But what's really frustrating about that is I can find out everything about those slave owners. I can find out where they were landowners. They were British. They were all these things.
That's interesting.
The black ancestors in my family. Although I just discovered where I can find out about them.
It's a black guy that's good on it. You saw his?
The what?
He got an ancestors show, but he's black. Oh, he kind of nips a little bit. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And remember, he was the same professor that he was trying to get in his house.
Yes.
And they locked him up, saying, "This is not your house." The white cop.
Yep.
Oh.
They locked him up because he didn't have his ID. He said, "This is my house."
Louis Henriquez Jr.
I was like, "This is a dignified black man just trying to get in his house."
My dentist is black in Michigan, and there's this tiny town like 20 minutes from my hometown, and there's really like one black family that lives there, I think, maybe not even really any, but maybe there's more, who knows, but it's very small, the population of black people in that town, and he has a nice Jaguar, and he was driving through the town, and he just got pulled over because, and like,
I mean, that's the
they
story
were
and
basically like, what are you doing here, and
nice
whose car is this?
Yeah,
basically.
That's every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's well, yeah, I mean, that's, yes. And yeah. And I,
still every and day, all the time. I mean, that's what's like.
but the, you
it's
know.
Painful.
But that's the thing, too. I think if more people. Going through my ancestry, like I did all my DNA and all of that stuff.
Wow,
you know,
I want to do that.
Yeah, you should. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
I did it, too. It's
you
interesting.
Did it, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean, you just find out so much about, like, well. I am Jew. Like, my dad just got his
birth. I was going to say
Jewish as
too.
Well.
You could look Jewish. Yeah,
so funny.
I
want
to find myself. I'm
Italian. Like, just.
So they're credible? Just go to which one?
Yeah,
which
I would say do Ancestry if you're a woman.
Okay.
And that's a swab. Like a
that's a swab thing.
Okay. My mom did it and she was
and
all
me.
White and she was
so
really mad.
Me only traces
you're all
your
white?
My mother is all Eastern European.
I need to do Ancestry then.
Adventure, and then just to be like,
so it could be wrong then.
She was really bummed.
You should double check.
But my dad
did it a long time ago.
The ethnic on my side.
Oh,
yeah.
So what did you do yours?
I haven't done mine yet, but I'd like to. My mom was all white and very disappointed.
I
can't believe this is it.
I'm 98% Irish, and I was very disappointed. I was just like, really?
Everybody else have this and that and that. You want to?
Well, also my grandfather told us that we were Native American.
Every person say they Native American.
Everybody
like,
says
right.
That.
I'm Indian. I got Indian.
He lied to us.
They don't have.
But everybody thinks people, that's the case.
Right.
Yeah.
And you would, you know, in some ways, you probably, you know, like in the South with slavery, I mean, so, you know, clearly rape was a huge part of that culture.
Yeah.
So if
huge
you were Southern and white,
culture.
The chances are that you have African in your blood.
Right.
And you would, you know, I guess the assumption is to like, well, natives were going through something similar.
Right.
You're going to be native.
So
somewhere.
Without your grandfather saying someone probably raped a Native American.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Legitimately. Yeah.
So sick. It's just so sick. But, I think you're right that the answer is just acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Just acknowledgement.
That's all it is. They teach you that in therapy. Just say, I understand you feel that way. You
know?
Yeah.
Acknowledge me. Nobody wants not. You know, especially something like that. Everybody wants acknowledgement. Nobody wants to do something and you just never acknowledge it. I mean, it's fine if you pay me. You know what I mean? But you ain't paying me. What's the, know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not going to forget. You're not acknowledging me.
Yeah.
Don't just pretend.
Yeah.
Don't pretend. It's,
I think that's the number one problem with this administration in general is like.
Oh, yeah.
They never, ever, ever apologize or admit wrong. Or
oh,
admit
my
defeat
goodness. It's
or
like
admit,
a cartoon.
Yeah,
it really
it
is.
It, they're children. It's like children.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Which is why we have to teach kids to, like, do that. Like, that's an important lesson.
It's like no
morals to give kids empathy.
All.
Yeah.
And we have to teach.
We have to teach them empathy.
Yeah, because those are psychopaths. You know what I mean? They,
yeah.
They have, you can just come out and say anything. You still blame Obama. What Obama got to do?
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. What Obama got to do with anything? Let's get country. Like,
that's
like the phones, you know?
So yeah. Like, what's that guy's name that died in the, well, he came back from South Korea and he had the, he was in the coma.
Oh, Otto.
Yeah, Otto, whatever his name is. His family blames the Obama administration.
That's what I'm saying. Everything is Obama.
For that. Obama. Your son went to South Korea and knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be funny.
Did he sneak into North Korea?
Yeah, he snuck into North Korea and he stole. Propaganda.
Went to South Korea, snuck into North Korea. Yeah, stole propaganda. Like, he knew what he was doing.
Who was sneaking to North Korea?
Yeah. Like, it's this culture. No, there's this, like, culture of white privileged frat boys. They do it as, like, a joke. They'll, like, sneak into North Korea and, like, take photos of themselves exposing themselves at the train and stuff and just, like... Just stupid
what
shit.
I bet you they ain't gonna do no more.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they blame their, you know. Yeah. You guys should listen to The Read, the podcast, The Read.
Well, oh, that's one of my ones.
They talked about it last week, and she read it, and it was just so fucking good.
I didn't even know that was a world. That's like a world. Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Especially, yeah. I mean, it was like 5 years ago that Laura Ling got, she got taken prisoner in, in North Korea after accidentally stepping over the line in China. And man, if you hear her, if you get a chance,
she talked about it.
Yeah, I think she talks about it on This American Life. Basically, if you Google Laura Ling,
like, because it's like, wait a minute, you're a female, you're pretty, they rape you, brutalize you, what happened?
Yeah, I think
I know that she was kidnapped. I mean, they took her because she accidentally stepped over the line. I know that part, but
But what's amazing about that story, too, to me, like, the thing that makes me, like, you know, there are things that make you proud to be American and things that make you want to just...
Move to Canada.
But, you know, Bill Clinton went over and got her.
Mm.
Right? Somebody appealed...
I had to really hold my tongue on making a joke right there. I'm
sorry. You should have did it.
But, you know, there are those stories of, you know, there are certain stories of just like, you know, she just tells about the moment where she didn't know what was going on. She'd been there for months. She didn't know what was happening. She didn't know night from day. She was everywhere. Yeah. And all of a sudden,
goodness.
She walks out and the flipping ex-president of the United States is like, I've come to get... It's a flipping Jack Ryan movie.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's enough to last my life.
I know.
Like,
exactly.
Sit down.
I would have fainted, I think.
Yeah.
I got a story.
I would have been like, I'm seeing a mirage.
They need to make a movie. They need to write a book on that. That's a lot.
I know. It's just
she kind of like chilled after that, huh? She tried to go back to work, but it seemed like she got married, had kids.
Yeah, I think so. I think
that's a lot. Like, it kind of dropped like, down I did on enough like, dude, in my like, life. That's a lot I've been through.
Yeah. Seriously.
Exactly.
Okay, wait, Megan, where did you go to college?
So I had a very or did different you go to college experience. So I, right out of high school, I was supposed to go to Boston University, and there wasn't not we didn't have the money for that, and. So my dad kind of offered me some options, and he said, listen, you can go to VCU in Virginia. Did not want to stay in Virginia. Or you can come out and work for me. And I really honestly, of course, at 18, thought, okay, I'm going to go work for my dad in L.A. Clearly, I'm going to become a movie star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. Yeah. And then I will be able to pay my own way through college.
Yeah.
So we all know how that works. so interestingly... There were some glitches in the system, and I could not get financial aid. My parents both said to me too much money. It's a long story. Anyway, couldn't get financial aid until I was 23. That's when you sort of legally became an independent at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'd gotten married. Mm. Something had to set you apart as an independent.
Wow.
So I actually got married when I was crazy young for different reasons and ended up consequently getting a very quick divorce.
I like the character.
And as soon as that happened, I went to University of Maryland and I went online.
That is just like another way to like add to the marriage industrial complex in this
it's
country.
Nuts.
Jesus fucking
it was
Christ.
Nuts, totally.
But
I haven't finished. But through my 20s, technically, I would be like a junior, so I got like a year left.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so I went all the way until I had my son, and then when I had my son, there's no way I was going to be able to hold down a full-time job and do a full load of school, but I did that. I've been doing that on and off for years.
that's by the way, I love that my college experience, the only thing I said is that South Jersey is racist. And that's where I went to school. That's all I said.
That's all. Well, if you are in a similar situation, there are tons of online programs where no one is racist, yeah, apparently. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I didn't go to college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someday, maybe.
Yeah.
I went, but it took me like 9 years to graduate because I was partying my ass off.
Yeah. Where'd you go to college?
Georgia State.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I knew I was in my 20s. I was smart enough for that.
That's smart.
Know?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I mean, you know, I got to get both. There.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. It doesn't have to happen
people
were
like,
in 4 years.
Are you still in college?
But dang, I think that's.
You gonna graduate?
I got it done. I was like, there's no way. This costs too much money to. I partied so stupidly hard. And just, I mean, talk about like training for being under pressure on writing jobs. I would have like a 12-page paper due, and I'd exercise my acting skills by talking to my teacher and being like, my grandfather died.
Oh my God, Alana.
I'm going to need an extension. And they'd be like, I'm so sorry. You take all the time you need. I'd get an extension. I'd get another extension drunk for 3 weeks. And then the night before, like my second extension, I would just put on like Under Pressure. Yeah. And just like on repeat and just like sit at my computer and just power through and just write for like 9 straight hours. And all my friends are like, you're fucking crazy. What is wrong with you? Why do you just do your work?
This is why college kids have Adderall addictions.
Oh my God. So true. If they had Adderall, I would have.
So you need that motivation, that adrenaline.
I'm pretty procrastinative myself. Yeah.
Yeah. I will tell you what though, going back later, you know, going back like when you're like
a real person.
Oh, I need to do this. Like I want to do this. I gotta tell you, it is a totally different experience where you're just like, I appreciate every dime going into this. Mm-hmm, I appreciate every second of my day.
That's why you can kind of get older sometimes and do some stuff. You don't know. Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing. Totally. At 19, 20.
That's why I didn't go back for my second year. Because I went to a conservatory for a year, acting conservatory. And it was a 2-year program, but I didn't go back because I was just like, I hate it here. And I can go to much better classes in the city that are like individual, you know, like I can
where
go
was the
to
conservatory?
The New York Conservatory for Dramatic Arts, School of Film and Television.
Did you go here?
No, in New York. Yeah, in Manhattan. But that's part of why I didn't go back the second year, because I was just like, I'm just spending money, and like I'm like doing the like by the end of the year, I was doing the bare minimum in a few of my classes. Like some of them I wasn't because I loved the classes, but like the classes that I didn't like, I was doing the bare minimum in, and I'm just like, why? What am I? And then what am I going to get at the end of this, a certificate?
Right.
Right.
Like,
but it's interesting, having been kind of in the workforce since I was like 17, you know, it used to be when I would apply for jobs, you know, I didn't have many options because I didn't have a degree. Like, I just didn't have many options.
Yeah.
And it's interesting now, and I think part of it is just I've got, you know, 20 years of acting, producing, and writing experience, and then, you know, so that helps when you're applying.
Yeah, no one's like, give me your resume.
Right. Well, but the other thing is I think now people are really equating experience to degree.
Because
everyone's sort of realizing like it's not really how things work these days.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But it is interesting to see, like my sister went to Dartmouth, right? And she and her husband, they both went to Dartmouth, and you know, the doors that open because of that are interesting to me.
I mean, I think it's also because of Dartmouth people help Dartmouth people.
Yeah,
like
it's networking.
Everyone from Northwestern helps everyone from
Northwestern.
It's a fraternity, a sorority.
That's what
kind
it's
of
about. Now I'll buy into something like that. You're going to help me? Because I'm not here on the island by myself. Somebody help. On the strength of helping. You know,
absolutely.
I'm going to do the work, but can you open the door?
Yes,
so I can
absolutely.
Go get
there. If any of you at home have an alumni network, like, use it. Because you will get help.
I have to say, I mean, my time at the Groundlings has been helpful. Like this
UCB,
I just did a day on a show with friends from Groundlings. Like I've,
I mean, and also I did a show with Alana's husband for almost 10 years, a sketch comedy show.
That's how we met each other. I poached her from.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But you know, those guys, the majority of them, I mean, we've worked together on and off for years and years and years. So yeah. finding your people and finding your hub. Maybe you do that in college.
It's funny. I like globbed on to a bunch of CU Boulder kids out here.
Yeah.
To the point where they all think I went to see you.
Well, that's like Liam. Everybody assumed he went to
USC. Me too. Yeah. Everybody assumes
skip
I went to
the
USC.
Process. Because yeah. this is smart work, not hard work.
Well, they have an acting school and a film school separate from each other. So everyone in the film school assumes I went to the acting school, and everyone in the acting school assumes I went to the film school.
So perfect.
It's so fun. Every time I hang out with them, like at least one of them is like, well, you know, at CU. And I'm like,
don't tell.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, I should just get a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I've ridden that USC card a couple times, that's for sure.
Why not?
Why not? Absolutely.
Okay, so you guys met when she was doing sketch with your husband.
Yeah, so we were, I met my husband 10 years ago, and they met doing a movie.
Wow. Yeah, we met doing a movie, and then...
then started doing sketch together.
Yeah, and another... person that we met on that movie ended up producing the sketch comedy show. It's actually the reason I quit the Groundlings. We were doing the sketch comedy show every week, and it was doing really well.
It sounds fun.
They went to Aspen. They were awesome.
Yeah, cool. It was great. It was a great experience. It ended up culminating basically on a television show on VH1. It was like their first scripted show on VH1, and that lasted. but it was a lot of work that went into
and
us
it made it
there.
To the end. To
yeah,
the
we did.
Show.
Yeah, yeah, I it mean, did. It did really well.
And had they marketed it at all,
yeah,
it could have continued.
But yeah, that was so. I met Liam on movie as I was getting a divorce. Met the guy who produced it, who ended up being my boyfriend actually for like 4 years. But yeah, so Liam and I just started doing. The deal with that show was basically it was a platform, right? So you just show up, you do 5 minutes of your own stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll provide the intros, the outros, the you know other stuff, and that's how it started. And then it kind of became more of a troupe. But but Liam and I started writing together, and we just wrote together really, really well, and performed together really well, and just had a great working relationship for a long time. And then he went on to become Kelly.
Yeah. So my husband has a character who's basically he started doing these sketches for his own one-man show, and he put them on his website, and then someone in Mexico uploaded them to YouTube when YouTube first happened, and they blew up.
That's amazing.
And if you just go on YouTube and look up Kelly Shoes, it's him dressed as a 17-year-old girl singing Shoes. Oh, my God, Shoes.
Oh, yeah. My God, that's your husband? Yeah. That's so funny. I was just, like, obsessed with your husband in high school.
Of course.
That's so funny.
Yep. Yeah. So after that time, I guess, we when we met, we, like, immediately started working together, and we made a bunch more videos, like Let Me Borrow That Top and Booty Calls and all those. And then we started working for Maker Studios. Our friends opened Maker Studios, who is now gone. Disney bought them and then dissolved them.
Yeah.
But so for years, we were making videos together there. And all of us, I mean, all working together. And I can't remember what the first...
Well, I think we both had babies is what happened.
Yeah, we both had babies and we were like, what do we do now? What do we do?
Yeah.
How do I make this baby a person?
Yeah, exactly.
And then...
Yeah, and Liam and I had actually tried podcasting in like 2007, like twice.
Oh.
I mean, we were... I don't know how we knew that was going to become a thing, but we...
That's so cool.
Yeah, we did it, and we were both like, we don't know what this is. we're stopping. This is crazy. And then, you know, when Alana and I had babies, I literally think the conversation was, you want to do something? Yeah. You want to do a podcast? Yeah. You want to call it your mama? Yeah.
It was amazing.
Do you want to come over at like 10? Sure. And then
great.
We started.
Here it is.
So how do you guys record? You guys were saying that.
So we record typically.
Not well.
At one of our houses. And then we did for a very long time. We just had a producer who put on, you know, just did the pretty stuff.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we lost him. And then I did another podcast, the Humankind podcast, for a while last year. So we just need to get back on the horse.
We kind of took a little break. We had some technical problems. And actually now I have a friend who's going to be at Feral, and she's a fan of our show. So I'm really hoping that she's already been like, I want to bring you into there so we can just like produce
just
it and
it
not.
There. Yeah.
Because
it's a lot of it is a time thing. Like when you have a child,
God, it's so much time to do this.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
Well, it's also hard. Like, because you guys are like us, you're a duo. Like Tracy and I are both so fucking busy.
Yeah, exactly.
And we talk about this all the time. Like, we cannot wait until we're picked up by someone. Yeah. Like, we can't wait because, first of all, that'll make a lot less work for me. And second of all, like, we can have more of a set schedule, you know, like, this is when we have the space. So, like, you have to
come. That was the thing, too. Yeah, we were, like, releasing ours, like, once every 2 weeks, then once a month. Then now it's been almost a year, and we still have an episode that has not gone out. Yeah, but we're going to
It's really, get back in but you see it all the time, right? There's, God, Antonio Acatunde had this great podcast called Mater Mia. I don't know if you guys ever heard it, but she produces a bunch of different podcasts, but she's a lady, professional lady who doesn't have kids, right? Mm-hmm. And she was like, there's no podcast for black moms. Like, I have not heard any black mom podcasts. She's like, I'm not a mom, but I'm interested in becoming one. I'm going to make this thing and just see. And so she would just interview.
And then she just tries moms to get dates on it so she can become a mom.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
But it stopped eventually. And I loved the podcast. And I'm bummed it's not around anymore. But, you know, it just happens. People fall off.
Yeah.
And it just
Yeah. Well, and things develop into other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are working. Exactly. We have a couple shows that hopefully are going with a network called Awestruck.
Cool.
Which is like Awesomeness TV's mom network. And one is a part of it is basically like us podcasting, except then we're like going to talk about, women's roles in history, compared to now kind of, you know, and it's fun and weird.
Yeah. What's the name of it?
It's going to be called Now or Then. And it's basically looking at, women's issues. I mean, for, when I say women's issues, everything from
history.
From
hairstyle
to
why fashion
to to like interviewing
baby
to
gear
jobs to baby
right,
gear
yeah, right,
to
all right, right
protesting to you
and
know,
then just like a various point in time.
Back in the day, they just wore diapers. They didn't have no Pampers.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Diapers. I said, can you imagine that?
Right. I know. Exactly.
Car seats were just like a metal strap.
Like a like the booster seats were literally just like a plastic thing.
Yeah.
That you sat on, and then.
Although we're definitely thinking that childcare then just a lot easier. You're just smoking cigarettes,
it was so
drinking,
much easier.
Drinking
one of my best friends always talks about how her mom style is just going to be good enough style, quote unquote good enough, like
which is the best attitude.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like you can have hot dogs for dinner. It's good enough. Yeah. Whatever.
Exactly.
Like,
your food product.
Listen, she's going to get there anyway, so it's good to just start with that attitude, right?
Yeah,
it's just eventually you're like, are you, last night I was like, are you crushing flaming hot Cheetos onto that kid's macaroni and cheese? You are. Okay, all right. Okay, enjoy.
Enjoy. Sounds delicious.
Right.
It's hilarious.
That's what they love, those flaming hot Cheetos. Little kids today.
I love them.
Everybody
really?
Loves the flaming hot Cheetos.
I like buttery, the regular.
Oh, yeah. Those are good too.
Yeah,
but I've never had
the little girl that I nannied for, the littlest one. Oh, you need to have them.
You never.
Alana
had
will a flaming hot Cheeto will never pass Alana's lips.
I am like a little bit of a food Nazi.
She is.
Yes.
Did you eat healthy?
I grew up eating horribly.
So did I.
So I have done the complete 180 where I'm like,
too.
We're growing our own goddamn food, and you're not eating anything that's made of any non-ingredient.
You're looking at a 180.
I love it.
I've
been there.
My poor child thinks that frozen yogurt is ice cream.
Good.
Or just not even
but
frozen yogurt.
You teach them. That's all they know.
And it's great. And actually, it's not even frozen yogurt. It's literally just fruit moved through like a juicer, like frozen mango.
Right.
It's just fruit.
It's just puree.
It's
just
puree.
Yeah.
It's real. Yeah.
Someday she's going to be like, you asshole.
She tastes that bottle. Well, she tastes
and then, she's going to do a 180.
Yeah. And she's just going to
eat
just
shit.
Straight trash.
Yeah. No, she's going to come back to it though. Cause
she'll eat straight trash from like age like 18 to 22. And then she'll suddenly be like, why do I feel horrible all the time?
Why are my organs failing?
Yeah. That's what happened. When I turned about 22, well, I also moved out here, you know, and it's so different than living in Manhattan. Because, like, in Manhattan, I couldn't afford shit.
Yeah.
And so I ate shit, you know.
Yeah.
And now I live here, and it's, like, easier to be poor.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to eat healthy. And I was just like, oh, I can never eat Taco Bell ever again.
Yeah.
Like, what is... What is that?
Yeah. Chill out, because one day.
Yeah. I told this girl from my hometown that she's 18 and she's moving here and, like, not going to college and, like, kind of basically doing what I did but coming here. And so we're going to, you know, I'm going to, like, help her out. And I was like, one of my best pieces of advice when moving to LA is just fucking give in to the health craze immediately. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just drink green juice. And, like, just
keep it going.
Just get in there. Just do it.
Yeah.
Why not? You'll be so happy.
Live longer.
Yeah. It's better. Because when I left here, because I'm from the South, so we ate greens. I grew up on black-eyed peas and greens and pretty healthy diet vegetables. And then I came out here and health things. So I adapted well. I just didn't know, like, avocados and cherries. Only cherries I knew was club cherries. Like, the sweet. I said, I don't like no cherries. I don't like cherries. So I tasted the real cherries. I was like,
cherries are my I'm from Michigan. Cherries are.
I did not know.
Coming from the South, like, we didn't have, there wasn't avocados.
Every day. Avocado trees?
No.
Not in Jersey either.
No.
Not in Michigan.
With a pit?
Yeah.
Michigan has tons of cherries, though. We are like,
cherry capital.
Yeah.
Michigan. Yeah.
Gotta put something on that cereal.
That's right.
So good. Like, when I go home, I'm just like,
yes,
I love cherries. Because I only go home in the summer, and that's when they're. Anyway, yeah.
Yes,
my friends own a company that's a cherry pit pack. It's an ice pack that's full of cherry pits.
That's
brilliant.
That's Michigan.
Right now. Oh. My family lives in Germany. I have family in Germany. They send some weird German shit to us all the time. Uh-huh. Right? Some great German shit.
Yeah.
Frankly, everything they send is awesome. But it's all stuff I don't know what it is, right? So they sent me like a hot pack full of cherry pits.
Uh-huh.
And I speak enough German to read the tag.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is a bag of cherry pits.
Yeah.
What does one do with a bag of cherry pits? And I looked it up online, and they're like, put it in the microwave.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Or the freezer. Yeah.
Or the freezer. Get yourself
it's the
a
best
hot
thing.
Pad of cherry
it's
pits.
The best thing.
What?
It's the best thing. It's the best thing. Because it just like it sits on your body so nicely.
I can't even explain.
I'm gonna make one.
Rub it.
I'm gonna make
and
one.
So then it like you can like massage yourself with it.
Dude,
so then it like
where'd you get it from? Amazon.
Try. Amazon. I can send you the company that my friend's family owns. I can send you a link.
Okay,
I feel like this
I'll
is
put
a
it
personal
in the,
challenge.
I'll
I'm going to make my own.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
You can. You easily can.
We eat a lot of cherries.
Yeah, you just save all the pits and clean them, and then you sew them into a bag.
Yeah.
It'd be easy.
Yeah.
I think this is definitely where our parenting skill set splits.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, just send it to me from Germany.
No, this is a project for us.
I'm like, nope. I do my daughter's cornrows. And I'll make my own cherry pad pit. Pit sack.
And like, let him eat Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
This is the seriousness of it. It's so funny what you're saying. But it's true. Pit. It's so true. You can do that. That's a boss.
Yeah.
And contribute to somebody else's dream and all that. And I got two kids I got to take care of. Hey, I'm creative.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Absolutely.
That's how I am on set. Everything, like, because, you know, I'm just shooting my own shit right now, so it's just like everything has to be made by by me and whoever and so
or flown in from Germany, just so you know.
That's why all this shit in here is from various sets that my roommate I've been working on.
I got a lot more stuff now.
We
I used to have this trunk, like when we were doing the show. It's a massive trunk, just full, you know, full
this
of
is
props
filled with costumes.
Yeah, exactly.
This is filled
we
with
all have
costumes.
The costume room.
Oh yeah,
if you're an actor,
yeah.
You've got the costume
we room. Talk about my roommate and I talk about how badly we want to like get a house eventually and I swear one of the room like the living room would not be a living room, it would just be just be props.
You should have seen in your last house these guys had
we rented a place, so my husband and I when we first moved in together we were like, oh, let's try to live on the west side, and we were looking and we were like, Jesus Christ, it's insanely expensive. So we saw a place around the corner from his old place that was like in the price range we had been looking on the west side. That was like basically a mansion from the 20s in Los Feliz, in the hills.
Las Feliz is nice too.
It was so beautiful. Yeah. It was like the most beautiful place I've ever lived in, probably will ever live in. But we had a room that was just a costume room and I painted the walls pink and black.
Yes, love pink.
And we just made it like, and it was, I had wardrobe racks of just insanity and wigs on the wall. And it was just my dream
enviable,
come true.
Enviable costume.
That's going
to
happen someday for me for sure.
Yeah. It's
pink and black are act like a girl colors.
Oh yeah, that's why I love it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm.
Now you know.
Pink and black.
Yeah. Okay, so
it's feminine, but you know,
strong. Yeah, but strong. It's badass. Yeah. Still, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So do you guys do anything else collaboratively together outside of the podcast?
Well, we're starting or have to you more. Or, yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. So
yeah, what else have we done? We've done some stuff.
Well, we've done a lot
How
of.
How long have you known each other? I'm sorry, did I get
10
that?
Years. 10 years. 10 years. Yeah,
Dang, that's a decade.
Yeah.
I know.
You guys
know.
Have a and chemistry like about you that's like a team.
How
you
know old are I mean? Your kids? Like, too?
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. How old are both of your kids? They're like the same ish age.
My son's 5 and a half,
and Tali's 4, almost 4 and a half.
Almost 4 and a half. Yeah. Half's the big deal.
So they're like cousins. Right. They're real close.
Yeah. They,
pretty much.
They love each other pretty hard.
Yeah. It's
so good. But we live across each town.
Enough, though. Yeah. That's the only problem.
That's the hard thing about LA.
I know.
I had, Jesse, our dogs were best friends, and we lived literally up the street from each other, and so we would see each other all the time, and now we live.
I know.
30 minutes. It changes everything.
Yeah.
So different.
It changes everything.
It's like dating. Everything's like, oh, you live. Over there.
Totally.
But Long Beach.
That's one of the first questions people ask you, too. Yeah. I feel like when they're like hitting you on you, they're like, where do you live?
Yeah,
before I get.
It used to be hard. So what's your sign? Where do you live?
Right. Yeah. Am I going to make that hour and a half drive?
Right. I live in Lincoln Heights.
Okay.
I don't know because people don't know that area. It's like by the Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Lincoln Heights. It's a nice little old.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's near like all of those old Victorian houses. Yeah. Yeah.
So I only recently saw that one street of all those beautiful houses from like the 1908 or something. Yeah. I mean,
I haven't seen that.
It's so pretty.
It's up Temple.
Oh,
so my office used to be there. The chaotic offices used to be there. Yeah. And
Everyone on the street just decided like this. We're never changing these houses. I mean, now it must be like some weird ordinance or something.
Yeah.
But
it's probably like impossible. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Nice though. It's so cool.
You know?
Yeah.
No. That's when they made stuff with their hands and created it.
Yeah.
All the detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That's why the vintage thing.
Yeah.
You can tell the style like that. It's a style. It's just like style. Now they just manufacture
the same exact thing over and over. Like I love IKEA, but like. But and this is an IKEA couch, but like, but like everybody has this couch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
definitely.
But it's a great couch.
It's a great couch, though.
Yeah. I've slept on it. It's a great couch.
My son has a bed from IKEA that literally every kid in America has.
Yeah.
Every kid has this bed.
Yeah.
Every house you go into.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody has this bed. It's insane.
But like you said, what are you supposed to do? Like,
yeah.
I don't really have.
I'm not going to hire a dude to build a bed.
Exactly. I'm not going to hand carve a bed. Right
no.
Now.
Yeah. And also, I don't need to spend. Like, I had a nice couch in my last apartment and it was trashed. And, like, I had to. It's like, I can't. I'm in my 20s. I can't.
Yeah.
No.
People are sleeping on this. All the
I'm
time.
In my 30s.
Like,
my
you have a kid.
Yeah.
Like, no.
There's marker on our thing. Yeah. My cat peed on it.
Yeah. I have a dog.
He's an asshole.
You just live with it.
I was like, what is that smell?
And cat pee is the worst.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it is. My
almost strangled him.
Ugh. And she had him in the carriage when she first brought him. And for 3 days, she kept it. I was like, what's that smell?
Right.
Oh, no. He had a bad time. He peed himself. Oh. I said, he ain't pee himself. You ain't let him out. Cats don't pee on themselves. They don't like their own piss. They pee themselves. I was like, you.
Torturing that cat.
Yeah. Up in that pissing.
I have it's so hard for me to, like, when people don't treat their animals well, it's so hard for me to, like,
deal
be friends with them. Or not even, like, they treat them bad, but they, like, if they just don't take good care of their animals, it's just like, I know. It's so hard. It's so hard.
I know. It is. It's tough. It's tough. It's funny because it's almost, it's almost like you have more contempt for somebody who treats their pet badly. That would treat somebody something that has absolutely no control over how it's being treated.
Yeah. Like, and then on the other hand, when someone is so good to their animal, I'm just like, oh,
good for you.
Yeah. Cool. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when a boy that I like has a dog and is really good to it, I'm just like, oh.
You'll make a good dad someday.
No. That's not what my brain does, but I get it.
No, sir.
No, more like, we could get more dogs someday.
Yeah, that's fair.
You'll be nice to them.
Smarter.
So wait, how long have you been married?
Almost 8 years.
7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
I love crazy. Love that about you guys. You got life in between. So I thought I had to sacrifice. No, comedy. And I missed all it. Like my baronet. I want to adopt a baronet. And I was like waiting on the perfect soulmate. It's like you got to do it in the living. Because my thing is comedy. Straight. No. You don't believe in my goals. You don't believe in my dreams. I got to go. I got, you know. It's like so much trying to be successful and have a dream. And it's like, girl, chill.
Well,
but chill the fuck out. You know what I mean?
But you know, there is sacrifice that comes with it. It's not like it isn't like I mean, I will speak, my husband is incredible. Like I did it. I got lucky as shit.
Yeah, where'd you meet him?
Through a mutual friend. We met at a party. I don't remember. He does.
That's great.
We met again on a blind date, except it was not blind for him.
That's amazing.
Blind dates are from friends are a good one though. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say that. It was a blind date usually from friends. Yeah. I want to try that route because I was this close to doing the social, like the online app. Yeah. But
it sounds exhausting.
I can't. It's too much.
My instincts, you gotta trust your gut, and it says no. I already know it's crazy. People are already crazy. Why am I gonna let them paint a picture of who they are?
I've had one good, like my ex of 2 years. We met on OkCupid, but the thing about OkCupid is it's very different than Tinder, and that's such in a way that you're like filling out questions. And
it's like a relationship based. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Match and you're system. Like, you're matched with an algorithm.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, do I like this photo? But nobody does OkCupid anymore. Everybody does Tinder. Now and it's just Bumble? Like and Bumble yeah and like yeah. I tried Bumble like a year ago and I went on this date and this guy was so racist and like I just can't I don't know
how does that even like how do you go on a first date and if you are racist how do you go on a first date
to the surface
and act racist
like we drove in. I'll tell you how. We drove into Koreatown, and he started to do an Asian accent.
Oh, quote unquote. I would have been like, turn around.
Literally, I was just like, did you just? Yeah, oh, no, like all God. Of your faces are what my face was.
Oh, no. Corny. That's corny.
And then
that's just like
dun, 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 dun. What you trying because you ran to China. Oh, okay.
And then I still fuck. Yeah, well, hilarious. We didn't fuck, but we still like hooked up because I was just like, maybe I'm just like being, maybe I'm just being stupid. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too sensitive.
Maybe he's like, maybe I want this dick.
That's maybe I want this dick. And then it was terrible. We didn't have sex. It was terrible. He was terrible. And then I was like, okay, we're done. And then literally a year later, pretty much to the week, his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend now, showed up at my work to tell me that he had cheated on her with me. And I was like, well, thank God he's your ex because we went on one date because he was horrifying. And I bought her and her friends a round of drinks.
Oh, my God.
Like, cheers.
Well, I have to say, I'm glad that worked out that like that.
Yeah. Well, I think because I think she was like waiting to feel my energy and I'm just me. So like you don't know me, but like they know me. I'm like very just like a very chill person who just like wants to be your friend and like that sucks but like that happens people cheat and like thank God he's your ex and like let's just be friends now.
It's
like,
funny I always ended up being friends in my 20s with women who boyfriends had cheated on me with or vice versa. It was a weird
that
thing,
is very weird
or like
pattern.
That's so cool
just a strange
that's so cool
thing but I had a couple of years of like I actually like you more than I like him so I'll hang out with you.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
It's a thing.
That's funny.
Yeah,
fuck
it.
Yeah, it's weird. Just don't find myself in that situation anymore. Thank God. But like,
that was just the atmosphere at the time.
That was what was happening. I don't know.
That's positive though.
Yeah,
and women got to learn how to stick together because I mean, men got to do it. They got to,
Right. Well, the funniest part was that I was training someone. And the someone that I was training that night happened to be one of my best friends. So she knew about this guy.
Yeah.
Like we had talked, like she was like, when we had the first initial interaction and then we went away from them and I was like, whoa, that's that guy. She was like, oh yeah, I knew exactly who she was talking about.
Oh, no.
Like, oh my God. And she was just like, you handled that so well. Like she literally was standing next to me like,
oh yeah.
Oh my God. Listen, is this girl going to like slap Susie?
She's watching a movie.
Yeah.
I had a girl once show up. This was years ago. Like, I think I was in college, and it was an ex-boyfriend from high school, and he was like, yeah, we broke up, and he would come over on his bike, like on his
like ride to my house. And
motorcycle was, or bicycle?
Bicycle. Uh-huh. But like mountain bike. But like we used to mountain bike together, so I didn't think much of it. And then one night.
It was a mountain bike. Just so you know.
Mountain bike. It makes it cooler.
Mountain bike. Ding dong. Answered the door. And it was his ex-girlfriend. And I was like, hey. And I was like, you know, she's at the door. And she just fucking punched him in the face because she was not his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, no.
They are now married with a couple of kids.
That's Whoa. Hilarious.
But he was full on. And I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't know. He told me you guys weren't dating. Like, right. there's no reason that I should have investigated.
My right. Goodness.
Yeah.
I'm See, that's real stuff right there. She yeah. came and got her man out of a
and
house.
Punched yeah. him in the face. And I was and like,
still marry
you.
Him. Like, yeah. this is my man. Oh, this right. is my man.
Yeah.
Okay, where he go, no. What he do.
I just punched him in his face yeah. so that he can feel what I'm feeling.
Right.
And yep. then.
That was fair. Yeah, totally. But they seem to be doing well.
That's good.
Yeah.
It shit happens. It
shit
happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good, but like, whatever. It should be. I've cheated, and I would say that I would avoid it for like yeah, that would be my advice
for anybody good. Who's like thinking yeah. about maybe cheat, just don't do it honestly yeah, really just, like yeah. it sucks
for you, it sucks for the person that you're cheating with, it sucks for the person that you're cheating on, it sucks, and it's like time consuming and draining
yeah
and
yeah.
it just makes you feel.
I'm glad you told the truth about that, because it's just not a guy thing. They know that it's draining. If it's draining it doesn't
so
change with
draining.
Gender
yeah.
and consuming, you know what
it's
I mean,
it's so
like it's a waste
consuming.
Of time
yeah
just and like develop I said, relationships for this is for this and this is for this and be honest
yeah
and
I
keep
mean,
on
yeah
moving.
Just like I think that's the hard, like just have a conversation. Like it sucks, but have the conversation. It sucks
and keep it moving
yeah
and listen, it doesn't get easier when you're married.
Oh, that's work.
It's
yeah,
still,
no,
it's
I still
like want to
be married, though.
Megan's yeah. like, nope, Mom, we're fine. It's easy.
It's funny. I have to. Well, I was married before.
Yeah.
Very briefly, but listen, it's a thing that happens when you are married as well, and it's something that I sort of just I think learned my lesson on the first go around. They like, had that starter marriage to
practice. Yeah.
I never cheated on him, but I actually met somebody when I was with him that I ended up dating later on
yeah.
For a very long time. Nothing ever happened when we were married. Nothing ever happened actually when we were separated. It sort of started when we were divorced, but I was out the door. Do you know what I mean? I was
right.
not invested.
Yeah. Right.
And so any thoughts that he had that I had cheated, even though that wasn't actually the case, well within his rights to
right.
assume mm-hmm. that was the case, considering
right.
my attitude about everything at mm-hmm. the time. But yeah, it's not. But after that experience, and then frankly, years and years and years and years and years of therapy.
Yeah, seriously.
And other relationships and everything. It was just, yeah, it just wasn't something. I knew that when I got married again, it was just not something I wanted in my, you know, that I wanted in my marriage. So I was looking consciously or subconsciously to just sort of be happy.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, definitely therapy.
But I learned,
I think
therapy,
is why
yeah.
I can say.
Man, I'm trying to get therapy, and that's stress.
You know?
It's like the lady, remember I told you I had one Tuesday? I don't know. She called me back saying, did we make an appointment? She was asking me when
oh,
we were making
no.
an appointment online. Like, kept saying, okay, what day?
Don't do
I was
it.
Like, that's what
yep.
I said.
Don't
no,
do it. Get a different
I'm just
therapist.
Keep going through different ones. Because
you have to. You have to.
I don't take my insurance anymore.
Yep.
So it's like,
go to Maple Counseling Center.
Okay. So they're going to let me give me, what they're going to help me?
Or? It's a sliding scale and like they'll set you up
while,
with.
Yeah.
I went there too. Yeah. And that's how I met my therapist. It's a sliding scale and they'll set you up with someone. And then like, if you don't like that person, you can try a different person. Mm-hmm. And like, because it is, it's like birth control. Like it's different for everybody. And like, just because you don't like that person as a therapist doesn't mean that you don't like that person as a person or whatever. It's just like, you need someone.
Yeah,
who,
you got to
like,
click with somebody.
Yeah. You
and,
need
and,
someone who
and
understands.
And sometimes I think you got to click with somebody in ways that you don't even realize that you need to click with somebody.
Yeah.
I had a therapist for years who actually passed away, just a weird thing too to be like my therapist died.
Oh, that's horrible.
He was very
so
old.
Sad.
You gotta go to therapy for that.
You gotta go to therapy
for that. So sad.
Yeah, it's a mess. But he was sort of like the least likely. Like I never would have assumed that this is the person who would like kind of save my life, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean, or save my
sanity.
But it just like if you feel like even if you feel like I don't want to go today, but you go anyway. Listen to that, because even if the person's not who you think they should be or not who you think they should be on paper. It's kind of like dating.
Yeah.
Kinda like, just keep going.
Yeah. On the other side of that, I had a guy with socks and sandals.
I keep looking.
Yeah.
And a long ponytail. I was like, this guy is not going to understand me.
No.
I would think the same thing.
I definitely requested a woman.
Yeah.
You can request a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I requested a woman.
That's funny, too, because when I went back to find a therapist, I went to a man first who I'd actually gone to couples counseling with my husband before we got married briefly. And I went back to him, and I know this word is so overused at this point, but that guy mansplained to me for the entire – I didn't say a word. That guy
what?
Just talked at my face.
Gross.
For an
he
hour.
He just talked at my face.
And there was no
– an hour.
He did. He just sat That's, there and I was like –
You're like, great, you could pay me now.
I know.
He just talked at my
face. He did.
There was no communication.
Gross. No.
I loved it.
Yeah, consequently.
Dang. Yeah, I
found
love
a lady.
I love my woman therapist. She's amazing.
Yeah. But it's you know, it just depends on where you are and what you want to do. And how you,
I just I gotta just keep trying. You know, yeah. Because I can't afford to pay for it right now. So they're going to have to take my
insurance. Absolutely.
Yeah, insurance, my mm-hmm. Medicaid, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Maple Counseling Center won't take insurance, but they'll only charge, like, it's a, you can pay whatever you can pay. So you could pay like five.
Say no more.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's
like, what?
Like I was paying $10 a session to start.
I'm like, OMG. Okay, I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, write that.
I got it. Yeah,
I'll yeah, I'll
my phone.
But anyway. I think even if you know your life isn't in crisis, or your life isn't in chaos. Or if it's there's, just, it's just
I've
really
just
good
about
to download.
Girls. Y'all know I'm black, and we don't do therapy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I've never had therapy.
Yeah,
and I've been through a lot of shit. I mean, homelessness,
yeah.
abuse. I need therapy. You know, I'm.
Yeah.
I'm,
definitely
intelligent
it's just
enough
gonna
to know,
help
lived long enough to know now,
yes.
hey now
well for me
yes.
too
yeah
for me it helps with my perspective of the world as well and
yeah.
like you know my phone was stolen in Australia and I was so fucking chill about it and everyone was like you're
oh,
so
yeah.
relaxed like why how are you so relaxed and I'm just like I see a therapist every week like
yeah.
it's just there's this isn't something to be like mad about
but that's like a really I think that's a good point you're saying that like in the black community it's not
Yeah.
that happens.
Yeah.
And
I have jokes about the differences with the races.
Yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
That's what I say
right.
Because
like
it's
white people
from
go
the
to
South
therapy.
And you coming out here.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, just differences. Being that bridge.
Yeah.
You know, just like with Act Like a Girl being that bridge.
Yeah.
You have both. Because people don't step outside their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. And then, you know, I see it and it's like, if it helps.
Definitely.
You can no more. When you're younger, you try to go to friends and talk.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn.
No.
When I start realizing people don't give a damn. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe I can understand it because you got a lot going on in your life. You know, you can't just overestimate your importance in somebody's life.
No.
You get therapy. Somebody's paid to sit there and listen to you.
Yes.
Trained.
Yes.
And can help you.
Yes.
It's there to help you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, it takes a lot to get out of that coming from my
agreed.
Culture.
No, I get
you're
it.
Like, you try to think, oh, we strong. We've been through the girl, please. You know, and it's like.
Well, but that can. Only make you stronger.
Yeah, we're strong, but you still. But then you're the angry black woman. Go get some fucking help.
That's right.
What I'm, you know what I'm saying? Let some of that off your shoulder. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
understandable, but just let it out. We just get it. Yeah.
Well,
you know.
It's just it can only. I think it can only
add.
Help.
Yeah.
And add
to. Yeah.
And add to communities.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just so. In general, I think.
That's yeah. That's what I yeah. I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think. I wish.
It breaks cycles. I will say for
it
me,
it totally breaks cycles.
100%.
Like that guy that I saw screaming out of his car because someone went straight through a yellow light and he was trying to turn left or whatever, and he just started screaming and like lost his shit and then held up traffic for 2 minutes all because he had to have his flip out. It's like you just if you had been in therapy for like 3 months, you wouldn't have even wanted to react that way.
Somebody on my street, the guy I parked by, whose pit bull I saw escape. You know,
oh
he's
boy.
Just like.
Yeah.
He looks like a skinhead, but he's like, I don't know. Dog's always off the leash. And I told myself, hey, dog's just escape. It's like, what
are you doing?
Oh, yeah. And then, so my, one of the people I live with, he told me the guy went and smashed. I saw the glass on the ground, but he was smashing people's car windows. And I saw it, and I didn't want to park right there. I'm like, somebody's window just got smashed. Why would I park right
here?
I'm like, I need park. I don't have no.
Yeah.
Or he got a ticket, you know, for parking it.
Yeah.
In my driveway. So I'm like. But then the lady came by, Asian lady, because it's a lot of Asian. She said, hey, don't park here if you don't have to, because, man, crazy. He, th- window, windows. He did three. That's nuts. Front, back, and windows. Right. I was like, I know, but I got a part.
That right. same
he just
guy.
Flipped out. Yeah, that same guy. Just flipped out. Because one of my roommates told me. He said, yeah, it was him.
I There's said, the guy with the dog. That guy like, that's in my building that showed up and wanted to borrow our phone, and we told him no, and he flipped out. I'm pretty sure he broke our gate downstairs. It's like pulled out of the cement, and I like can't imagine what else could have happened.
People need therapists in their our apartment complexes. I think we should start sending him into Ku Klux Klan rallies.
Well, yeah, he also he had like this is just a very good like example of the shit that's happening right now with our country. Where he's a recovering drug addict, but he's still a drug addict. Like he's still doing drugs, so he's not really in recovery. Right. But he like tells his mom that he is basically because he lives with her, and he has been in rehab and like there. But there's no he hasn't had any mental health help at all.
Yeah,
and it's like not provided at all. And it's just so like insane. If people go to rehab, they should
like part of coming out of it. Part of it is therapy.
Because my brother been that rehab. He's still because we're functional. Like me with alcohol. And he been functional for like 20 something years on crack. He's functional on it, but he went through the rehabs, but they didn't do therapy. He can go through. He can get through that. I mean, he's functional. He doesn't do it every day. He just go on his little spot. But you've been going on your little sprees for a minute.
Long time. Life,
you know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely.
My nephew was like. Grown like 26, he's beautiful, Asian and black, on his own tattoo. He went to college smart. We waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm gonna tell you something. High school? Oh, okay. College? Right. Oh, college playing sports? Oh, taekwondo? Oh, very handsome. You got your own tattoo? Okay.
Right.
Let me breathe. He almost 30 before I started breathing. My brother was like. It's like he needs that, he needs my dad. My cousin died, and he was just talking about that the other day. He bit some, and that was his friend. He was a little older, but that was his friend. He taught him how to work because my dad wasn't around.
Yeah,
and he fell out of a tree, my cousin, and died. And he picked him up and put him in the truck. And he's kind of been, he just need therapy.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean.
Got to talk about it,
you know. And we don't know that. And now that's why we're real close now. And that's why I'm gonna get something and tell him, hey. Ooh, that's what you.
I've been
need.
Doing this, and it's great.
Yeah. Love you, brother.
Yeah,
But I think that is definitely like we were just saying, like the cycles, family cycles, what you innately have learned since you were born about how to survive in your own family.
Exactly.
It gets cut off at the pass, and you get a chance to rework how you want to look at things.
And that's what I find so beautiful about life. You know, when you get old enough to receive that. That's why I would never want to be younger. I was like, I was too stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
All that pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not knowing. And I love knowing.
That's why I get into therapy at a young age. Because I'm just like,
you do everything.
Like,
she had an old soul.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, girl, you can roll with me. I'm old, but you got it.
You got it. Yeah, totally.
Yep. Well, I always say, because I didn't go to college, I always am like, I feel like I'm like 4 years older than I am.
Went to New York instead.
I'm like technically 32, I feel like. You know, and then I'm a mature 32 also.
Right.
It's you're deep in life. You've got it.
You got a handle on it.
Yeah.
It's very.
I
think you and I are,
I think.
Are probably around the same age, actually.
I'm 50. I don't know.
Oh, you're a little bit older than me.
You're 50 now?
Yeah.
This year?
Yep.
How did I
not
realize that?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been living for a minute. That's why I was like. And that's why I have to be thankful, because nobody knows. I have to tell them. I can like to say whatever.
I love that. That makes me so
thank
happy.
God. Because you be like, wait a minute, when is something going to happen? And it's like, well, you still got your brain and you keep it going.
Yeah,
you
keep it going.
It's all experience for that.
That's so true.
But it's hard.
Yeah, I just turned 40.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And
that's a beautiful age, 40, because you know.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny thing to come up on, because
love
it's
40.
Yeah, it's different. Like, I remember when I turned 30.
I can't wait for 30.
I'm
very excited. It's going to be
really,
good.
Yeah, you're going to have a good really one. Like,
I'm going to be like.
I feel like a woman.
I think I'm going to be like pretty successful by then, I think.
Yeah.
Like starting to be, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm just like,
You definitely. You definitely know a little bit more about what you want and what you don't want at 30.
Yeah.
And you also are kind of still in really good physical shape.
Yeah.
Like you're definitely like ready for part two.
Yeah. 30s are solid.
30s are pretty awesome, I have to say. And 40 was interesting, turning 40. I was just saying, it's kind of like, it's not as exciting as turning 30. It's kind of the same as turning 39.
Yeah.
But then you just have to look at people and go like, you're not going to fucking believe this. I turn 40.
Right, right.
I'm 40. Does anyone fucking believe this? Right. I just woke up the other day and I was fucking 40.
Yes, yeah. That's so funny.
What the how did that fucking yeah.
I know that's like gonna be how 42. I'm gonna feel for yeah. sure. Yeah. I felt that way at 27, like turning 27 this yeah. year. I was like, damn. 27 to me is a different age right. than like any of the other 20, you know, like yeah. 24 to 26 is like pretty much the
yeah.
same thing.
Yeah.
But when you turn 27, it's like, oh no, like 30 is happening.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. yeah.
Like mm-hmm. I'm, no almo- turning I'm back. Almost 30.
One day
now.
I'm going to yeah. be out of these 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Started, yeah. I stayed 27 for like 8 years.
Yeah. yeah. I stayed yeah. 24 for 4 years.
Yeah.
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 yeah. Yeah. I've kind of given, I like in terms of acting or, you know, any yeah. of that shit, I'm just like, I'm fucking 40 and you can I was, fucking I was, hire me or not.
But doesn't it feel right?
It yeah. does feel good. I told this, so I was on set on Friday and I was like in this party scene where everyone, hello, just sat in a water bottle, where everyone was like 21 to 25. I was like, I'm 37 years old. Right. What am I doing at this party? Right. Why am I at this party drinking with these people? I'm going to need some motivation oh, yeah. here.
Like, what's going on now? Yeah.
And if you're filming, you're not even actually drinking. So it's yeah. just like, damn it.
Just yeah. but dancing to no music with a bunch of 20-year-olds. Right. I was like, I feel like a pedophile. I shouldn't be in this party.
Right. I know every week they got a teacher that's been messing with a young student. They just had another one online like last week. I said, oh,
Jesus, that's so crazy.
That's horrifying.
Yeah,
it's so it gross. Is.
It's so gross.
It's so gross. There was a cop recently that was acquitted and not charged with rape. And he worked as a cop at a high school and a 16-year-old girl gave him a blowjob.
What the fuck?
And he wasn't.
No.
He didn't rape her.
It's insane.
According to the court. It's
well, there's enough.
They just saw online that a guy can finish sexing you.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, so what? No rights? What was going on? You know, I'm like, what's
the Handmaid's Tale is like.
It's happening.
It's real.
The
it's
fact here. That you can see that, yeah. whoever created like, that, the fact that they can see that, that's what I saw when I first saw that. So I was like, this could happen because yeah. somebody saw this already in their mind.
Yeah.
With everything that they know.
Have you guys finished it yet?
Mm-mm. No.
I haven't
no.
started I anything. Thank right you. I know. I'm excited.
Finish it. Everybody
watch Glow. That'll give you a nice inspiration. Yes,
I do. I do need to watch Glow. But everybody out there on this podcast, you guys, you gotta finish Handmaid's Tale soon because I need to start talking about it. Mm-hmm. And so you all need to yeah. be okay with yeah. the spoilers that I need. Yeah, you need to finish it.
I can't even yeah.
Well, you have
I
to get you have to get past episode 4. Episode 4 is real hard.
I'm past episode. What happened? I did episode 4, I think.
It's the one
I'm gonna start it real soon, so don't talk
okay.
about it.
Okay.
It's the one with Alexis Bledel, the girl with the blue eyes. Mm-hmm. It's like the one about her, basically.
Yeah.
That whole episode. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah, yeah. That one you kind of have to get past. But otherwise, it's not quite as painful after that. But I because my roommate stuck on episode 4. We watched it and she's like, I can't. And I'm like, yeah. I know, but right. this is you're fine now. Like,
yeah,
you're
right. You're past.
Woods.
Okay.
Like,
you're out
so
of
So that's
okay.
my advice to everybody is like, if you stopped after episode 4, don't. Like, keep going.
No, I had to yeah. keep going. Like, what's going to happen? Yeah. Everything already happened.
Yeah. And then how is there more? How are there six more episodes? Yeah, I know. I thought, I'm stupid. I didn't realize that they were releasing it. Each week, I thought that it came out all at once, so I thought that there were only 5 episodes.
Oh, I see.
And then I was like, after I like heard that there were more, I was like, oh my god, there's more!
Right? Don't change the game on me.
Yeah,
I know this works, Netflix.
Yeah,
don't do this.
Yeah,
it's like a surprise season 2 immediately.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I was like, oh my god! And it's funny too because like episode 5 kind of ends in a way where like
it could be an end.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's kind of cliffhanger, you know. Ooh. But anyway. Yeah. Okay. So wait. So let's talk about what are you guys doing in the future? What's next? What do you want to do with this podcast? What do you want?
I think now or then is actually the immediate future. Definitely.
We're going to make that show and it's going to be fun and great.
Yeah.
And Megan just revamped our Your Mama website.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to check it out.
So go to yourmamapodcast.com.
And what's the concept of the show, but how is it going to, what's the style of the show going to be?
Well, it's a lot like this. We interview moms
occasionally. So sometimes it's the two of us. It's not like dependent on a guest, but good. Sometimes we do have mama guests or dad guests.
We need to do another episode, just the two of us.
Soon. Yeah. And it's definitely evolving as we go. Although we've gotten really great feedback from moms, I have to say. a lot of moms are like, I love your show and I want to know more about what you know about X, Y, and Z.
You guys are funny. It's like a team. Like, aww, you know what I mean?
Thanks,
it's a
man.
Nice balance.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Oh, yeah, you too. Yeah. Well done. Well done, team ladies.
We've been doing it for like 8 months now.
Yeah.
That's great. We're getting into our stride, I think.
Yeah. Don't you feel? I feel natural.
Yeah.
You, like,
yeah. For
like
sure.
It's actually two point of views, but same.
But same. Yeah. We usually come to the same conclusion. Yeah.
No, it's good.
I like that. Like, yeah. Because we're from totally different worlds and it's like real. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, a job you're trying to get along with his co-host. Like, damn, I'll be at work like, I'm like, stupid. This is
how did you guys meet? How did you guys decide
Tracy
to do
reached
this?
Out to me
online. Yeah. I saw her crush on, because you had crush on Friday.
Feminist Crush Friday, yeah. Feminist Which I need Friday. To start blogging again more. And I was so good at it for a while.
On another comedian, it was so well written that I was like, who is this chick? And I like all her, like, just everything about her style. And I was like, I want to reach out to her. I want to work with her.
Nice.
And that's amazing.
She did. And then we like had tea and I just like couldn't help myself. I was like, oh my God, you're what my podcast has been missing. Because I kind of had similar thing where like I had a friend of mine, we'll get into that later, but a friend of mine works for Peter Greenberg and does his, she basically is the executive producer of his podcast.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And so before she had that, she was working as just a regular producer. And she was like, I really think that Act Like a Girl is a podcast. I want to make it.
Nice.
So I'll produce it for you. You host it, blah, blah, blah. So we did one round of it. And then she got the executive job. And it was like she just couldn't do anymore, which I totally understood. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm back to square one. Then I need to, like, I can figure out how to do this myself. But, like, I don't want to do it all by myself.
Totally. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to have diversity within the team of Act Like a Girl, you know, not just have it be my face. So then I was like, you're perfect.
And I was like, whoa.
Nice. And it's perfect. Yeah. I know. I sometimes feel, I'm like, we're just not diverse enough. But I'm a Jew. I throw that in there.
That's good.
In the diversity.
I was going to ask, she was Jewish. And I was like, no, but she's Italian.
No, I just grew up in New Jersey with a bunch of Italians.
Oh, I kept saying she seems Jewish because I know a lot of Jewish because of comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's diversity.
Yeah, she's.
Well, your name is Alana.
You're Jewish.
So.
Yeah, I'm married to a Jewish gentleman.
Mm-hmm. And you're Portuguese.
I'm super white.
You've got a lot
actually,
of stuff.
It turns out I'm not super white, but I'm.
You're LA white.
You're white
I'm
passing.
LA white.
Like, yeah. You're white passing.
That's a melting pot.
It's like so funny. I'm not.
It's not LA is. It's like a melting pot.
It is.
So good.
Like, yeah,
and it's crazy because you go other places. Like I my last show at the Comedy Store, some friends brought some family from Minnesota, and they were like, that show was amazing. There were so many different kinds of people in that show.
It's so true. When you go to comedy shows in the Midwest, it's all white guys. I was like thinking about doing some stand-up when I go home this summer, and I was looking into it, and like I just typed in like stand-up in Battle Creek, and literally this website showed up with all the stand-ups in Battle Creek, and they're all men, and they're either black or they're white.
Yeah.
And they're mostly white. Yeah, and I was just like, damn.
That's how it's been.
Yep.
Yeah. Damn.
I know. I think I might do the same when I'm in Jersey. At least, like, do a
show. Go pop into Manhattan and do it.
Yeah.
You can easily. Just talk to Jody. She'll totally set you up with shows.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do it when I go back to New York this summer. Yeah. Okay. So how do we find you guys? Tell us all your deets. Socials.
Let's see. So social, you can find us on Twitter at @mama_yer. Also on Instagram.
Y-E-R.
Instagram, same, @mama_yer. You can find me at Megan Perry.
And I'm Ilana in L.A. That's I-L-A-N-A in L.A.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of I's and L's and A's.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And then, what does feminism mean to each of you?
Mm.
I'll like to flip those, but
okay. It's doing what you want, when you want, and letting other people just be okay with the fact you're a lady doing what you want to do.
Yeah, done.
Don't give me any shit about it.
Yeah. I think.
I love it.
I was gonna say also supporting other ladies doing what they want to do the way they want to do it, no matter who they are, where they come from. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. That's a big one.
Yeah.
supporting each other.
Yeah,
I feel
that's
like
a big one to me. Yeah.
And I feel
yeah.
like that's where the turn is happening now for the better. Yeah. I feel like it is changing.
It's
and
cool
it is
to support. It's cool to be a woman supporting other
yes.
women.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
And it helps. Like it's I feel like, and it was a different time too, yeah. where like people were. There was only one woman allowed yeah. in the writer's room. So
and
it
they
was
were
like
trying to keep their job.
Yeah, yeah, you had to kind of claw mm-hmm. your friends off of it so you could get to it, you know? And it's like that was created for us. And now we're like, no, we don't want that anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We want to run the room right. and hire the other women because they're fucking great.
Right.
Yeah. So I to me, I think feminism is just like being the boss, being okay yes. with it. And supporting each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can I just throw something out?
Yeah.
Just if your listeners are interested, something that I'm very, very passionate about right now is Black maternal health mm-hmm. in the world of feminism. Mm-hmm. Black women in this country are dying because of pregnancy related issues 3 to 4 times. More than any other race. That's across socioeconomic lines. That's from the wealthiest to the poorest, and that is racism. And there's an organization called Black Mamas Matter. It's the Black Mamas Matter Alliance. And if you are so inclined, please find them and please support them, because these are your fellow countrywomen and they're dying and they don't need to. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to say about
that. That's awesome.
Amazing. I'm
do you have any point of action, Alana, that you want to?
No, and I feel bad for that.
No,
don't,
but
don't
I,
feel bad.
I, so I, didn't, awesome. I didn't come prepared. But, no. Yeah, I hadn't heard
that stuff.
But that's so
that
awesome
either.
For your brand.
Yeah.
Your mama
well, listen,
and Black Moms
yeah,
Matter.
And Black Moms
y'all,
Matter.
Y'all on
I mean,
it. Y'all on it. Y'all on it.
Y'all
for moms.
I mean, not to blow
moms.
Your story, but, like, yeah, Megan's had some health things, and I love that you've found this group. I
that's awesome. You can actually, if you find me on Twitter at Megan Perry, I will send you receipts. I will send you the articles. I will send you the information. I will send you the research. This is not bullshit.
Yeah.
It is happening.
Yeah.
And this that's is why horrifying. Planned Parenthood is so important. And this is why people need access. All women need access.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black mothers need access. Black mothers and children are dying at disproportionate rates. And yeah. that is bullshit.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
And Planned Parenthood, I mean, yes, that's a one to support forever.
Yes.
And to
mm-hmm. So, anyway, yeah. I, if yeah. you're a feminist and you're listening to this podcast, this is something that
which
we all need
probably
to get.
Are.
Yeah, I hope you are.
Yeah.
Probably just stop
but
now.
To,
us,
you're yeah. listening. To that one white guy in Mississippi. Who's
why do they hate men so much?
Right.
All right, guys. We have had so much fun with you guys.
Yes. Thanks for having
really
us.
So
it was great.
Yeah,
thank
so
you. Really appreciate it.
So thank you. Thank you guys out there for listening to the Act Like a Girl podcast. As always, check us out on Facebook.
And Instagram.
And Twitter. All Act Like a Girl TV. That's and then check out our website, which is
actlikeagirl.tv.
Perfect. And then, yeah. Subscribe to us on iTunes. I have a new thing. I would love it if you guys could rate and review. We're trying to get picked up soonish, so like I need traffic, I need rates, I need reviews.
Tune
all these
in.
Things.
Let us know
yeah.
what you think. Yeah,
yeah, all those things. I need numbers, so that would be super helpful if you guys at home could do that. I'll be yelling it at you on social medias also. And yeah, that's it. Thank you for tuning into the Act Like a Girl podcast. It's been Susie Dunn
and Tracy Walker.
And we were here with the Your Mama Women. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.